if you want.
Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, everybody's been sent the invitation to the magical, mystical Mother Earth show. Okay, not the magical, mystical, just the mystical Mother Earth show. Typo on the invitation, Goldie, typo. So, yes, welcome. I see that everybody's accepted their invitation and you're going to spend the next 2 hours with us. We're really delighted that you're here. There's a lot to share tonight. Starting with, you know, well, first of all, let us welcome the beautiful and the magnificent genius of Janine Kimmel. Yay!
Hello.
Janine.
Hello.
My beautiful
Hello.
Co-host.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, everybody.
Yes,
well,
indeed,
let me just
there
say, for
is
a typo,
going
magical's okay.
Pardon? Pardon?
For a typo, magical's pretty good, too.
Well, you know, that's true. That is true. Because me and Janine, when we were coming up with the title for the show, had actually started with the Magical Mother Earth show, and we kind of looked at it and said, magical, you know, definitely has a beautiful flair to it, but we wanted it to be the frequency. We believe that there's an alchemy from magic to mystical, and so we were bold enough to take the step. Yeah,
it's like upping the ante.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, we're going with mystical Mother Earth. Yeah. So that was
exactly because exactly.
We talked about picking her as a partner was great. So I think we're all feeling that magic from her. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, today, I don't know, there's a few like, literally details about today that, you know, everybody should be aware of. First of all, last night and today, we were hit by a direct hit from the sun. There was a solar storm that blasted out a CME, like, 2 million miles an hour. I mean, I'm just kind of like, what, you know, that's okay, that's beyond fast. But it was an actually direct hit. The Earth was in the direct line of fire. So last night and this morning, we're literally bathing in neutrinos and magnetic anomalies that were kind of, you know, burped up from the sun. And I know from the moment I woke up today, I'm definitely tingly. For me personally, I am feeling this energy as a defined knowing. It's a very subtle confidence that the magic and the mystery in my life is unfolding divinely. I'm in sync with it. I'm in alignment with it. It's not to say that I know there's a lot of people also very confused today. And there's nothing wrong with being in that space of being confused because, you know, anybody who's following the shows, you know, this and another reality show, you know, you clearly saw last week, you know, holy moly, Goldie was all over the place, you know, I'm taking jobs, I'm losing jobs, you know, it's just a day-to-day experience of, you know, things getting called up, getting experience, getting released, being processed, and being integrated. And I do believe that it's cyclical. So, you know, if you're in confusion today, you could be, you know, totally in the state of peace by tomorrow. Or, you know, meaning it's just we're all going in parts of the journey on a cyclical basis. So I also believe that a lot of people are feeling tired. And I know both me and Janine napped today, which was... I mean, that's not abnormal for either one of us, but it's just, you can feel it. I don't know, it's almost like our beings are worked, even if we're not working them, you know, just sitting still and we're working this, whatever transformation or integration or release needs to be happening.
Consciousness. I think it's kind of, who is it that said, the plasma consciousness of the sun. So, you know, here it is kind of blasting us and bathing us. And, you know, I can feel it too. I mean, it is a cross between sort of a little bit of sleepiness, but also I've noticed that there's been such kind of no barriers in thought consciousness in a lot of ways where I noticed right before the show, You literally, as I was posting the comment, we are in a continuous relationship with the universe, with ourselves. You literally posted the
Esther Hicks.
You got to know who self is source, self is pure positive energy. And I was like, oh, there, you know, selfishness means vibrational alignment with self. And pretty much, I was saying the same thing, and I had been watching Nassim Harriman, and he said something so beautiful in meaning that we were in continuous relationship with the universe, and then what I got was, which of course means in also with ourselves, but with everything and everyone, and it was just so funny as I posted that, you posted that, and I go, there it is, you know, so... So it seems as though thought consciousness is sort of like, has, you know, you and I are sharing a lot of that, and
definitely.
Maybe that's happening for other people, and I kind of playfully like to think of it as sun consciousness.
Oh, definitely, I like that.
Yeah.
Sun conscious, yes.
Because the sun, you know, even in the tarot card, if you pick like that beautiful sun card, it's just such a dynamic, beautiful card that to me just sort of, you know, another way of saying enlightened and illuminated and, you know, sun consciousness. So I'm just having fun with that. And it was actually great to fall asleep. And I watched Nassim twice. He's just so great.
Yeah,
but,
we both highly recommend the. He has a DVD. I'm not even sure the name of his website. Yeah, do you know the name? Is it on the? I don't know if it's on there.
Well, it's called Black Hole with a W-H-O-L-E, and it's just beautiful how he explains. You know, and there's no agenda. It's just information. It's not like, you know.
Exactly.
You know. I don't know. It just feels real pretty clean to me, and so. Yeah, so it's pretty good. And
well, it's also one of the other things that I just have a little bit of a checklist today of things that
okay.
I want to do. I want to take a moment. You know, it's really a privilege to have a radio show and, you know, kind of have captured your guys' attention for the moment, because one of my dear listeners and sisters, Susan, this week had quadruple bypass surgery. I guess that's what they call open heart surgery. She's very, very near and dear to me. And she's on this journey like all of us. And it was interesting because last Thursday I was encouraging her to call in. And after the show Thursday night, you know, I really got this strong sense. I felt terrible. It was like, stop pressuring her, Goldie. She doesn't have to call in. you know, she communicates with me through emails. They're very intimate. They're beautiful. And, you know, I don't want anybody to feel pressured to call in. Call in because you're just, like when Lisa called in last week, she just was compelled to call in, and it was a joyful experience. I never want you to think that it's, you have to call in because, God forbid, me, Goldie is pressuring you. But I found out the next morning or later on in the afternoon, I had emailed her and said, please accept my apologies. I don't want to pressure you. You know, you are exquisite. You know, I love our relationship. And her husband took the email and responded to me and said that she was in the hospital recovering from the quadruple bypass surgery. So if we could all, you know, in our prayers or meditations, you know, just send Susan, you know, love and light and, you know, just energy for her to be on her journey and clarity in sovereignty and in, you know, just a little, you know, I think it's really amazing. We have, you know, me and Janine have clearly seen this, whether in the mastermind group or from the radio. We have group consciousness here, and it's almost like me personally, on some levels, I underplay it that, you know, I understand everything we do is because we need to choose to do it from a personal level. I posted that thing about being selfish because it really is. It's a choice that we choose to make for anything that we're experiencing and everything that we're experiencing. But I really do have, like, a sense that as a group, if we send, you know, a loving intention to Susan to, you know, kind of put some gas in her tank, in her etheric tank energetically, you know, and she can use that energy however she chooses, that it will, you know, it can significantly make a difference in whatever choice she makes. And 'cause, again, you know, I'm a big fan on the whole, you know, like, when people start talking about, you know, okay, let's all get together and pray that the hurricane doesn't happen. I don't come from that school. I'm not looking to divert the changes that, in my humble opinion, are what is necessary in order to have the experience of the change and therefore the evolution and to rise above it. I'm not looking to, you know, she's already had the open heart surgery. Clearly the changes are going through with her. I'm more from the school of thinking or being that, okay, once we go through that, now what are we going to do with that? Are we going to own our sovereignty? Are we going to seek clarity? Are we going to go into victim consciousness? We have the choices. It's not about necessarily diverting the challenges in our life, because I really say this from a person who has lived this truth. My challenges have been my greatest blessings. I mean, I really, you know, get this feeling inside me, deep inside me, that we come to Earth to forget who we are. That's why we come here, because the remembering, once we forget, we then have the experience to then remember again, and that remembering is what this is all about. It's why we're here. And so I just, well, yeah, it was important for me that you know, to share that, because I deeply have a connection with Susan. And it's funny, as soon as I heard about it, my heart had a jolt. And then I had an instantaneous knowing that she would be okay. I know that she will fully recover from this, but in a completely new space and frequency because of it. So,
yeah, well, that sounds wonderful. And I've also had really lovely, creative, and meaningful emails from Susan. And, you know, it was just recent, too, that I saw a beautiful piece of art she did, and it was all heart. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I clicked on just the meaning of the sun card, and just they have some words here that as you were talking, I was like, oh, all these words, life, energy, growth, clarity, vibrancy, understanding, illumination, new beginnings, breakthrough, confidence, and you just said the word confidence.
Wow. That's
said,
like, there it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
It says the sun is pervasive in its power, blazing with its message of vitality, and its presence in our lives equates to life-giving energy. So, you
nice.
Know, yeah, the sun is inevitable, which I love. So, so
thank you. That was
new beginnings.
New beginnings, absolutely. Recycling and you know, as I'm watching the illumination, you know, oh my God, synchronicities. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys saw the post where, you know, I mean, I read a book to my munchkins called Gold Delicious, and one of the pages is Goldie, or what is it? I don't know where Goldie is. Maybe she's becoming one with the universe. You know, when children's books are talking to you, and TV shows are talking to you, and trees being down across the path are talking to you, you're not looking to hide from the challenges. You're not. You're looking. You're just looking. You're not looking to change anything as much as you are to look for the alignment in the moment that you trust with all your being, that in that moment, whether it be life or death, everything is in divine order. Everything. And you feel it as a presence of your own beingness that it's a piece that goes cellular. It's you don't. There's no need to change anything. There's just like the sheer joy of experiencing what's in front of you, because it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last 2 weeks with you, you know, what was coming up for you was a clear example of as it was like perfect order what needed to come up with, because you were ready to look at that, and then integration, and then it was like moving on, you know, and it was just,
yes,
it was just great. And
yeah, well, I mean, and I definitely want to tap in on that too, that you know, you guys have been listening to me for a while. You know, June, July, August, September, October. I mean, I went through a good 5 month period of serious releasing. And, you know, me and Janine were talking about this earlier, and I was like, I definitely want to talk about this on the show, because serious releasing from the mental perspective can seem like failure after failure after failure. I mean, that really is, you know, relationships that don't work and jobs that end and things that don't come together, you know, it can be a very challenging time, and the challenge is simply, if you stay out of your mind, which is so funny how the accumulation with the, you know, the gentleman with that job was all about, oh, you know, he was, you know, stating to me, you're losing your grasp of your ability to hold reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the releasing of this, when there's trust, when there's infinite trust, and I know my friend Art, you know, who, by the way, Art, everybody is so affected by your presence. I want you to know that. You really deeply affected the listeners. Last week or Thursday, whatever night you called in twice, you deeply affected the listeners, because me and Janine both got feedback on that.
Yeah, my friend Stephanie from Ecuador. Called me just to say how amazing Art was.
Yeah.
And how lovely. So, yeah.
Yeah, we really are, as a family, showing up on this show. And I'm telling you, it's the quality of the beings that are gathering around this energy, that the support is that, listen, releasing is a powerful part of the process, and it can be extraordinary if you don't attach the belief that you're failing because of it. If you can just stay in a neutral place of trust that whatever's releasing, it's because the frequency match no longer fits, even if it's things that you're releasing you know, like, I mean, there's, and on some level, you know, I might be releasing being a nanny, because I'm not getting the nanny gigs, you know, and it's like, and if that's the case, that's okay, you know, it's because we talked about that one week about, you know, our titles and our roles and, yeah. And
identities,
I just,
identities,
exactly, because what I'm starting to realize is the creation is starting to come in. I mean, moving down south for me is just, this is, I can't, I'm tickled from a soul perspective that this is happening to me. I mean, I'm excited to move where the weather is a little warmer. You know, I'm going to be hanging out and back in the life of a dear, dear soulmate friend, Greg. I can't wait to be doing the show from down there. You know, there's going to be new people to meet. It's new land. I'm going to be living within 10 minutes of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it was interesting because I was thinking about this. When I drive back and forth to Polar Bear's house, you know, in the last month, I have recognized the mountains speak to me. And what's so interesting is I'm all about the forest, definitely, but I am really getting that there's mountain energy is a, it has its own signature. And I'm going to be by, you know, literally like at the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it's like, wow, it's almost like a new being is, you know, an aspect of Mother Earth, the mountain aspect is calling to me. And me and Janine were talking about that. I don't know if you guys saw the post where she gave me a new mantra. and I kind of screwed it up a little bit because the initial mantra was, okay, and everybody who can't handle swear words, plug your ears. The initial mantra was that I am
Goldie.
Fucking amazing.
Oh, Goldie, you're...
Well, and then I wrote it down as I am effing efficient, because part of another part of the conversation was about efficiency. And then we realized, though, she never said I was efficient, because efficient is really a doing word. It was sufficient. I am sufficient.
Yeah. Which means I am enough.
And I have decided, I already started it, I'm creating a new initiation art piece, which is, I am, you know, I am fucking sufficient. And it is really, when you look at the word from an energetic point of view, being sufficient, being whole, whole, being complete in myself, as the relationship with myself, it's almost like, for me, it feels like a very natural progression. Once you have infinite trust in your experience, becoming whole, it's a natural progression. And what I've done is by making, you know, the initiation art piece, and when I'm done, I'll definitely take pictures and show everybody. What it's becoming for me is it's the ally, just like my initiation, my infinite trust piece came for me, that I can actually, like, lean on it, knowing that it's putting this ray of consciousness into my experience, because I'm going to be moving down south, basically living in a place where I don't know, you know, anybody, and Greg will be on the road most of the time. So I'm really moving to a place where I'm going to be completely doing this by myself. And it, going in with the frequency and the consciousness of I am sufficient is going to create such, I mean, I can already feel it, such a magical experience. Will there be challenges? I hope so. If there's not challenges, it means, you know, I'm not growing. But it'll be nothing I can't handle, and everything that, you know, through infinite trust, I'm willing to experience. So I'm really excited about this. Really excited.
Well, you know, it's funny, because it just was coming to me as you were saying it, that the piece, when it's I am sufficient, and then immediately what came to your mind was a rock. And what I just realized was, a rock is very much, you know, a fractal of a mountain. And to me, the mountain, if you were to ask me, what earth landscape, Janine, Vermont, would you say sufficient? I would go, oh, a mountain, I am sufficient. You know, the ocean would have another feel for me, like I am open and expansive and fluid, or the desert
would be, I have vision.
Yeah, so when you, the mountain just feels so much to me like I am sufficient. Blue Ridge Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains to me also have a very, they really do have a blue hue to them because of like the mist that lies in the lighting. And they're also incredibly old. Like they, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, millions of years, they were very, very high and because they were newer mountains. Now these are in terms of like, the world, these are old mountains. So that's great. That's
okay.
It's just another kind of geological.
Well, I love the color blue, too. I resonate with the color blue. Yeah,
me too. Yeah. So, also, I was going to tell the listeners a funny thing about that whole, like, word thing. We were kind of having fun, and then first I said you were amazing, but then you went for, oh, sufficient, but then you made it efficient. I went, no, that's sufficient. And then I said, something about just be present, but instead of being present, I said, just be president. I said, okay, be president and present. And so
and sufficiently efficient in all of your amazingness. I wrote that too. Exactly.
So it was
exactly.
Very funny and fun. And I think after last week, we were both, I think I was integrating as well because there was a day where Goldie's like, oh, I could tell you're integrating. You're inward today. You're inward today, and I was.
Yes.
And I was post something too. I could feel it as well. And I was explaining to her that I couldn't. It was sort of just out there. But and I didn't need to put form to it. But I did feel that there was something in my. Environment or near me that I was ready to integrate, but you know I didn't feel the need to sort of go. And I have to know exactly what it is, but I was definitely
right.
In my own integration, and Goldenhawk could tell as well just talking to me. And
it's
funny when that happens, and you know it's very
it's amazing when that happens. Actually,
yeah, and it's good to know that's what it is because. Sometimes when you've gone through a few things and you might even, and me going through it sort of like accompanying Goldenhawk, but then I'm sure I had my own process and, you know, then you find that it's almost like you are the rays of the sun and you're putting them out there. And then all of a sudden this integration process and it's like, ooh, I feel fine, but I feel very inward and I feel very sort of quiet, but you can almost then get more aware of the fact that you are integrating. And it's kind of fun to notice those things or get better at understanding what you're going through or feeling, just as if when you and I are talking and we're following something and all of a sudden we come up to as much as we can go, like you get that, these are all really great, I think, great sensations to understand, like, in consciousness and yourself, like, okay, I just went as far as I can go with that, and now I'm, you know, that's it, and it'll just progress the next day or a couple days or whatever. But yeah, I was really going through something too, and it was just who knows, maybe it was even the solar flares coming, I don't know. Especially
I wouldn't eliminate it. I think it's all of it. The sun talks to us, the earth talks to us. As much as man-made thing, children's storybooks, radio songs, it really is a combination of everything that's happening within our experience is speaking to us. Because you just triggered something that I'm so glad you triggered, because I knew I wanted to talk to the audience about this. And I just basically spoke this to Greg on the phone a few hours ago, that... You know, often people will say, what does triple digits mean? Or You know, if I see 333 or 444 or 111, 666, what do these numbers mean? And what the wisdom I have gotten recently is, and this is due to Nassim's work, is that what I'm starting to understand is, first we're going to notice the synchronicities. And that's a beautiful thing, because it lets you know there's a divine intelligence at work. But there's a point where it's not so much what the synchronicities are telling you. It's about kind of tuning in to the intelligence itself that is orchestrating. And it's the subtle, because it's not something you can control or manipulate,
mm-hmm.
but if you're staying in an awareness, almost like at the point of curiosity, you're on the edge of the razor. It will like the river take you. I'll give you an example, because I love examples. Sometimes it's easier than explaining. When after I started watching Nassim's work, and he was describing how, you know, everything is cyclical. There's black holes and there's white holes. And, you know, the black hole takes the information in and the white hole expresses it. And then he went, you know, of course, one step further saying, and we're made of black holes and white holes. Our hearts, our cells, every single part of us is about this recycling, so to speak, of energy. And that's what brings our experiences to us. And what's bringing it to us is what we're putting in. You know, this is why it's so important to understand how we respond to situations, because that response goes into the black hole and then comes up into from the white hole almost in response to the response. And I got the awareness at one point that people were recycling themselves in my life. People from the past were just showing up in my life. I mean, at one point there was a guy I dated when I first moved back home from Buffalo in 2004. Like, there was a car parked out in front of my driveway, and I went outside, and it was so funny. It was one of those days, you know, I hadn't taken a shower. I looked like crap. I was a little bit, you know, kind of in bullish mode, going, yo, hey, who are you? And why are you parked in front of my yard? And all of a sudden I looked and I went, oh, I've dated you. You know, and he was like, listen, I was just driving by and, you know, I saw your house and I wasn't really sure what to do. And then you came out and I was like, you know, and we talked very briefly and I was like, well, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, he's like, oh, you know, I'm engaged. And he goes, but, you know, I was driving by and I wanted to stop by and see how you're doing. And I was like, it just became clear to me that something beyond me and him brought him to my doorstep. And the message that told me was, you know, in all honesty, inevitably Greg, who I had an incredible relationship with, at some point in time, in divine time, is going to recycle himself again and come back into my life. So it was no longer something I had to either manipulate to get or fear that it wouldn't happen. Now it just became that divine, you know, what Janine is teaching me, become a divine waiter. Just, and it's not that you're waiting for them to come, but you're in this point of awareness that things will start happening. The universe will start talking to you like the ghost whisperer showing me points of the storyline leading them to North Carolina, you know, in a box truck. It's like, I mean, it was just like, wow, okay, you know, I'm going to North Carolina in a box truck. And you'll see that even before it happens, it'll start happening. Or however it comes, it's not necessarily that we have to manipulate. And when I say manipulate, anytime you're creating something from a mental perspective, that's manipulation. Because mm-hmm. it's not organic. The mind does not produce organically. And like 99% of the stuff, that's why I was very conscious about, you know, what we were setting the intention with Susan. It wasn't about setting an intention that she must heal from this. it's setting an intention of, here's some energy, play with it as you will. Because I promote the organic because I want to experience organic, because one of the wisdoms I'm getting is the organic cannot be manipulated. If you're creating it from the mind, then mind control plays a part. Entities can come in and start, creating distractions and insecurities
and
jealousy.
And a bias. It's like biased. It's like you.
Yes.
The organic's not biased. It's just.
Right.
It's
it, it's what's supposed to be based on the whole of, because we are creating with each other. In other words, like Nassim talks about, what we put into our black holes at some point goes into almost like a melting pot of the whole planet's black hole. You know what I mean? It's an individual experience as well as a unified experience simultaneously. But if you master your own quote-unquote selfish space in harmony, you're ultimately putting harmony into the whole pot of the planet. It's the holographic experience. Whatever you're doing for yourself is holographically happening, not only just for the planet, but for the whole cosmos and otherwise. So, however you're coming, some people like to come from the perspective of, the bigger picture. Me, I'm inherently selfish. I choose my choices for what makes me feel good, because that is what seems to work for me my whole life. And that's why it was so great that what you were posting at the same time Abraham Hicks was saying it. I believe that there has been a conditioning and a perverted rule that to be selfish is a bad thing. And I would, along with Abraham Hicks and, Janine, like to help alleviate that that's not a truth. The truth is, if you're taking care of yourself in the divine way, you're taking care of everything. You're taking care of nature, and you're contributing to the harmony of all by taking care of yourself. So
definitely. It's funny because you were accompanying me just in the conversation 2 days ago, or is it Sunday, when you could tell I was integrating, and I was just like, yeah, it's something, it's out there, it's okay, it's like, and you said, yeah, you don't need to know what it is, it was something organic going on, and I trust it, and it's...
Right on.
And it was just... I didn't really need to take it any further. It was like, and still right now, it could be a billion things that I became aware of. But I don't really need to know it. It's probably coming in as a presence for me, and I'm like, okay. So because I definitely have been going through, as you're going through, I'm going through, and it's. I know this sounds, but it's fun.
It is fun. It is fun. That's exactly right.
You feel the organic. It feels so much better than this discomfort of like, oh, what's going on? But there's a happening or a clicking, or that I'm feeling moving through things with you, and obviously I'm moving through things with myself as well.
About the dream? Remember the dream on Sunday when you called?
Yes, that's right. And I was really happy for the call because it was a real positive message you were giving me. Remember I called and you said I was just dreaming about.
I mean, literally. Opened my eyes from a dream of Janine.
Oh.
And
I had been talking about
the phone rang,
and
I went, "Oh, that's
someone.
Janine." Pardon?
What? I was just talking on the phone to someone in LA about you. No, I was talking about you to my sister-in-law in LA about how great the show was on Thursday, and then I got off and I call you, and you're like, "I knew it was you. I'm so glad. I was just dreaming about you." And I said, "I was just talking about you." But you should You should tell the rest because you remember better than me in the dream.
Well, I just remember the dream part. What I was dreaming about is me and Janine were on an airplane. It was mostly empty. We were doing, and Janine was sitting in the row behind me, and she had her head leaning on this gentleman's shoulder. And it was just very much, to be honest, the visual I got of her leaning on the shoulder was the same visual that I got from Ghost Whisperer as they were coming into welcome, when they were driving in the truck and it said, welcome to North Carolina. So I know that's where that visual, so her leaning was just like, there was just a definite connection between her and this gentleman that was, it was just sweet and divine. I'm in the row ahead of her. I'm doing initiation art, and we're making a mess. There's pieces flying all over the floor, and the stewardess is going, oh, don't worry about it. You know, the next flight, the kids will just, you know, use what's on the floor for their initiation art. It was just such a space of, there was only joy being experienced. Then the next part of the dream, I'm in a house with Janine that is, in the basement, they had initiation art that was like three-dimensional, where there was like all this yarn that was like pinned up all over the basement, like a spider's web, and there were different parts where the yarn was gathered that had like melted wax, like crayons, and you could take pieces of these crayon yarn. And there was this huge wall that was like the Wall of Fame, and everybody that had been to the house kind of left their mark, so to speak, on the wall. It was like there was graffiti, but you know, everybody was tagging it and sharing pictures of what they experienced or loving kind words, or you know, it was just a menage of the joy. And then I came out, and I remember we were sitting on the lawn. Something else happened. I don't remember what else happened, but and then the phone rang, and I swear to God, because Janine the day before was integrating, and you know what you start to learn is when people's energies are going in, it's respectful to give them space to go in and complete that integration without guilt that they're, you know, not being outwardly based right now, but just, you know, it's a respect, and I'm not only experience it. I'm Janine is helping me learn, because I wanted to call Janine all day Saturday. There were all these synchronicities happening for me, and I was like, no, give her the space, you know, let her integrate. So when she called me on Sunday, I had gone, you know, basically a calendar day with tons of stuff happening. I hadn't spoken to her. And I'm telling you, I literally opened my eyes from the dream. The phone rang, or the phone rang to open my eyes from the dream. It was that close. I'm not sure which. And I just looked at the phone, and I went, wow, it's Janine. I've got to tell her this dream. And so I'm having this dream. She's talking to her sister-in-law about, you know, just the joy we're having on the show and in life. And, you know, in all honesty, This is living, man. This is wealth. This is the fifth dimension being experienced in the here and the now. And Art, I know you know what I'm talking about, because I've had synchronistic experiences with you as well. Michelle, you too. I mean, and callers, if you know, listeners, if you want to call in and share this, this really is the meat and the juice of life right now. I know it. People are like, well, but how can I make money with this? You know, and I'm not sure on that part.
I just like to say, I don't know.
Yes, I don't know how it will, but I get the sense that if enough of us bring the value to this, as Abraham Hicks calls it, it's called being in the vortex, because she says that if people ask you, so what's the value of what you're talking about? Her answer in the video that I posted was simply, you know, it's simple. There is value to it, but if you're not in the vortex, you can't see it.
Right.
Because this goes beyond. The dollar is a part of the illusion and the manipulation. The money from a monetarial, from literally piece of paper and coin perspective, That is the manipulation. And we're popping out of the matrix to recreate life from a space that is effortless. It is based on infinite trust. It is based on I am sufficient. And it's not just Goldie being sufficient. It's all of us that are in this vortex. Knowing our sufficiency will actually take care of us. And again, you know, I'm not trying to be redundant, but Art has lived off the grid for 30 years. He knows sufficient. He knows the true meaning that my being is my sustenance. And, you know, I'm entering this. Janine is entering this. It's like the whole planet is coming to the space where we are literally recognizing the manipulation of the mind of money and the true essence of my being is my sustenance, and that will indeed take care of us. I mean, hands down, it will take care of all of us as long as, you know, we're in that space. And, you know, I get that it's a dance, too. You know, it's not like, you know, you step across the line and your ticket's paid and you never drop back into doubt. I mean, but I am finding more and more and more of my moments of awareness are in a space which allow me to not accept jobs that don't feel like right placements. Or, oh, right. And then we should talk about the momentum, too. But I
right.
Shut up and let you talk, too. So much to tell.
Yeah, no. And, yes, the momentum. You made a phone call that you may, you know, that you might not have, not that you didn't want to, but I remember you said just to see if you can get temporary nanny jobs. That was great. And
right.
What it did was it really, the word I would say is fosters or supports momentum in life and in somebody's life. And, you know, speaking of money, I mean, or I guess, you know, what would the word be like? Not success, but in fostering momentum in your life creatively, in relationship, just in general, I always am taking action, even subtly, just to keep a certain momentum moving and sort of to let the universe know I'm doing my part. And
yeah.
I even, you know, I have such a belief in the subtle that matters, you know. And so it's not the big things. I mean, they're great too, but it's the subtle things, making the phone call you didn't want to make to possibly open up opportunity. And, you know, even if the opportunity doesn't open up there, the fact that you made the phone call, it's just, there's this expression that I've heard, and I use it a lot, which is energy follows action. So
yeah.
the small actions that we take keep a continuous momentum going, and momentum feels good. I think that, you know,
stillness
is wonderful. Stillness is wonderful, but stagnation, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, it's just like, just I really love momentum. So, you know, so we were talking about that today, you making the phone call and me just doing the little things that I do, you know, whether it's if you get a check in the mail and you could sit on it for a week, but I'm like, you know, go put it in the bank, you know, either that day or the next day. Just keep it moving. Keep everything moving.
Right.
Make the phone call. Answer the email. You know, it's just, I don't know, feels good. It feels good to me.
Well, and you know, I think
I've noticed it's accumulative, too. Like, you
yeah.
sort of feel that you're, you know, that there's a building of momentum. And I think that's true. You know, I
agree.
It's like
a snowball effect. It's a snowball.
Yeah.
You do build. I mean, because right now we're in a Mercury retrograde, and you know it's interesting because that's showing up in certain areas, you know, in my awareness. But you know, there are people that, you know, they're like, okay, you know, you don't want to move during Mercury retrograde, and I'm going, I don't know. See, there's no, you don't want to give yourself a flat rule about anything. See, that's the key about being aware of the subtle, because when I made the call to Nannies as Needed, I worked there for 4 years, and, you know, without getting into details, when I left that, the placement of, the, you know, this business, me and the woman who owned it had a very mother-daughter relationship created. I mean, I could see it, she could see it, and, you know, as you guys can probably, you know, reach your own conclusions, if it's a mother-daughter relationship and I left, you know, there's a good chance I might not be welcome back.
Yeah.
You know, it was, there was a lot of karmic and there was control issues. And so, you know, what was interesting, though, when I called Danny's as needed, again, like Janine said, I didn't want to call. I was blessed that I got the answering machine, so I just left my message and then said, okay, whatever's going to happen from there, you know, at least I took the step forward. The next thing I know, care.com, there's a woman who's looking for a position, a temporary position, right here in Norwalk, and that comes in, and I go, well, look at that. You know, I moved with Nannies as Needed, and then all of a sudden Kara.com approached me with a temporary situation. And unlike the last job when the nanny goes, don't tell them that you're temporary, I was right up front and said, you know, I'm here between now and February. I'm open to helping you out. But when the calling card comes in to go to North Carolina, I'm leaving. You know, and it's completely up to you. And she was basically like, well, listen, I don't have anybody hired right now. Let me get back to you. And, you know, for the one that it's supposed to work, it'll work. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't, you know, I can't manipulate this to get it. Because what the whole subtle awareness is showing me is if you trust the subtle awareness, I'm not going to waste time on distraction timelines where I have to learn lessons again. It's like if you stay in the subtle, it's like your soul is guiding you in every turn. Because what I'm really starting to learn is stillness is the ability not to utilize your mind to create things for yourself. And momentum is the ability to use a sensitivity and awareness to move from a soul inspired space and not a mind. So there is an ebb and flow, just like the tides, but the key is to be aware of the motivation behind why you're being still. Are you being still to be lazy? Or are you being still watching the subtle to say, I'll know when to move when something will be inspired in my soul, not a fear being inspired in my head.
Right. So. But also if there's things like small things that like, or you know, that if you handled them, and for me, it would be almost like handling these small things unblocks energy and just things move along organically. You don't even have to think, okay, you know, like if something's not meant, like you made the call, but like if the job, it's organic that it will just work out. But
exactly.
You know, but the call was important, and because in some ways that was unfinished business, stuck energy, you know, and it was perfect timing too that you made the call.
Well, I just want to share one thing. And by the way, Nannies as Needed said, sure, come on back. You know, we're going to have to regroup you on the rules of Nannies.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, we'll take you back. And I'm like, oh, well, look at that. Oh, okay. You know, all the fear of what was going to be, what is she going to say? I mean, the truth is, well, and here's one of my truths too. When I left the message, I was like, hey, I'm ready to make you some money if you have an opportunity for me. You know, there's nothing like, you know, you can certainly spruce up your, you know, add some cologne or put a flower in your hair, you know, because in other words, I wasn't like, I need the money. I was like, hey,
you're
you need
so
me
fun.
To make you any money, I'm available. So, I'm sorry, go on. I just wanted to share that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing because it feels like every single day something is showing up to... A synchronicity is showing up, and like I said, you know, kind of bringing this full circle, it's not so much the synchronicity that I'm focusing on, and I am, there's a part of me, but it's really about getting the wider picture of going, are you in the space of the intelligence that's creating it? Because that is also an optional space of awareness, to be the infinite intelligence that is orchestrating this whole experience. In other words, the fifth dimensional experience of ourself. That's what I just got. It's like, oh, that it's the being behind the portal that we're going to go through once we can hold this frequency. And if you're going to hold the frequency, well, first you got to be aware of the frequency that it is, which
yeah.
is the organizational properties that are creating all of this. It's weird because it's tangible, but it's not tangible. It's so in the center of the paradox on so many levels. You know, it's the unseen and the seen. It can't be held. It can't be controlled, but it's totally, you know, available to be, you know, utilized in your experience. It's like, it's the everything, you know,
yeah.
unified. It's the everything.
Yeah, that's
but,
why,
but,
yeah. Oh, I'm
okay.
sorry.
No.
I was just thinking that what I posted, you know, that we're in continuous relationship with the universe. I don't know. I guess I'm just, you know, and it's funny you had that dream. The word relationship, I just seem to be such a fan of that lately. Relating, relationship, quality
yeah.
of relationship. And
yeah.
You had that dream of me, you know, with someone who I, you know, I don't know who that person is, but it seemed as
either.
Though there was this ease and this, you know, real loving comfort and,
yeah.
you know, that I liked it because it could have meant many things on many levels as it could be an aspect of myself that I was integrating, you know, maybe over these last few days. It certainly was an aspect of yourself, you know, because when we dream, we, you know, a lot of the characters are aspects of ourselves, but then you and I, you know, we seem to have this direct line that, you know, we're passing over lots of things that are so synchronistic. It's like, you know, it's a, you're thinking it, I'm writing it, I'm writing it, you're thinking it.
yeah.
So the dream to me, you know, was just so synchronistic of that kind of relationship where there's just an ease and you know, and I mean I'm very much into, like, why I love this radio show is that it feels to me that it's so organic, and it is as if there's a continuous relationship with the universe, with ourselves, with the audience. It's not you know, we're not in the practicing or the rehearsing or the scripting, and it's just organically occurring. And that is so, you know, that is so much fun for me, and that is so challenging, but in a way that I completely get excited about it. And so that's why I wrote that, because I was like, that's what the radio show is to me, is that there's
right
this, yeah, and I know that, you know, so far it's just been happening, and it's just so, I don't know, deep, you know, and soulful.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and the audience, you know, goes on the ride with us. And
yeah, definitely. I would say hang on to your hats, but, you know, hang on to yourselves, because we go deep. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just the outside that's flying by us, you know, but energetically, you know, we're all, you know, how many of us have had the, you know, tingling from our head to our toes because of something that we heard or something that somebody posted where, you know, and as well as how many of us have experienced the people that when you want to go deep, you know, they look at you and go, you know, why are you going so deep?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, most of the planet does not support us going deep. But it does appear to me anyways that the people that do enjoy going deep, to find themselves, to really get in touch with, you know, everything about themselves, the shadow, the light, the, you know, all of it. We're
yeah,
growing
well,
in numbers. We are.
No, and it's true that, you know, some people, I'm sure everybody can relate to this, as you were young children or, and growing up, and then you just had this natural propensity to be deep and, you know,
yes.
and mindful and,
yes.
you know, and you just always felt that it was like, oh, okay, I get it, you know. But when all of a sudden you are with others that you could just, you literally can go on this ride and you can
yeah.
just have fun being naturally deep and naturally organic and naturally relating to
yeah.
the universe, because it's a gift for me. And I could tell that I'm flourishing in it, you know.
Right on, great word, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's so, you know, it's kind of like, what has value? I'm like, this does.
Exactly. I couldn't even imagine asking you, so what value does it have that you're insane? I would, that, those words would never come out of my mouth.
No, but it's like, you know, it's like, that's where, like, when people, it's just, value to me is just so, you know, distorted so much in our culture, but the value is this for me. It's the ability
yeah.
for the natural, you know, just to be deep and it's completely accepted and actually welcomed. That is
yeah.
just great, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I said to Goldie, it's kind of as if, well, last week I felt like she was digging and hit a beautiful well of spring water. And and then obviously I did too.
Yeah, well, it's almost like it can't happen to just one. Everybody, you know, you're aware of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because it really is the whole, it's happening to the whole, or at least it's in the mix to be happening to the whole, you know. And I definitely get that the sense of the people around us
mm-hmm.
are, you know, the Simon and the Michelles and the me, you know what I mean? Because I do want to share something that
Kevin.
Was actually
yeah.
The Kevin, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, Kev. We got your like. We like you too, Punky. I want to share something that was really profound, and you just hit me with the value of this. You know, you guys, you remember the show where I talked about me and my father had the big fight about, you know, him not valuing my awareness as, you know, it doesn't bring, you know, he's out of the vortex, so he doesn't see the value. So this weekend, I'm getting ready to go to Polar Bear's house, and my father calls me into his room, and he goes, I have a favor to ask you. You know, and it's so funny. I mean, initially I'm like, what? I got to go. I got my coat on. I got my purse on. I'm ready to go. And he goes, you know, it'll just take a minute. And literally, no, this is the awareness. Something inside me went, stop and listen to what he has to say. Don't be a brat and a bitch. Chill. And I went, you know, that was inside me. That message came from inside. And I went, okay, you know, what's up? And he goes, my girlfriend's daughter has two problems. He goes, and I'm going to tell you the second problem first, as if I knew which one was one or two, but I went, okay. So he goes, she's going through a divorce. And I went, okay. What's the first problem? He goes, she's got some stomach issues, and she's going in for an operation to get the flap on her stomach to close because food's piling up. And I went, okay. And he goes, and I want her to know that she's not alone during this procedure and during what she's going through, and that, you know, we're out here and we're rooting for her. You know, and I'm getting choked up now. It's like, I mean, he floored me when he said that. I went, wow. And he goes, what I don't know is what kind of gift do I send her to say that message? And I was like, Dad, the message is what you just said. I go, find a card with nothing in the inside, no pre-written words, and you write those words yourself. You write down to her that she's not alone and that she's supported. I am so emotional right now because it blew me away that my father goes, he goes, wow, thank you. Thank you. He goes, I think you're right. And it was like, you know, I mean, you just don't, you know, like, wow, Fred thinks I'm right on an emotional issue. I mean, it was just like, I literally went into the car and bawled my eyes out for like 15 minutes of joy. I mean, a joy that I totally felt like, you know, he was validating the gifts that I have. And it just felt like if something was to happen, he didn't leave this planet from me on the fight. You know, it was a true connection. And I'll be honest with you, something else happened personally that I'm not going to share, but he had a conversation with my brother recently, last night actually, that was also profound, that Janine brought up that whatever shift that I went through and integrated over the last, you know, 10 days is literally affecting my father's perception and my father's
field.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. My experience of my father has shifted where, I mean, it's no longer, you know, because, you know, he was at one point screaming at me that it's useless what I do. And then, you know, at that point he was like, you're right. You know, because I said, you know, clearly you're not going to send her, you know, an edible bouquet. The woman's having surgery on her stomach. And I go, and don't send her flowers. I went, don't disguise it. The message is in the emotional support that you're sharing with her, and that's huge. So let that stand clearly on its own, because it does stand clearly on its own. And, you know, he was like, wow.
And, you know, once again, I feel like we were digging and you hit the well again, you know, the springs. I mean, that's just how, you know, but I really feel also, you were saying this today, that you can feel sort of the, when someone's talking to you, you can feel the presence in their, you know, that they're listening, and you, or when they're talking, or you can literally feel that they're taking in, they're listening, they're present, you feel their presence. And what's so amazing, because I just recently got this beautiful, simple words from my dear friend David in Italy, and again, the word value comes up for me. It was like, no gift could ever match words that are heartfelt and
exactly.
They have presence. They have presence. They carry a shape-shifting. I mean, literally, I was like, if I never got another, you know, beautiful, it was just so beautiful. And like your father's words had presence, and you knew that was the gift. And that's exactly the words I used yesterday. I was like, to myself, I'm going, this is, a, you know, these simple words, but they have such presence. And, you know, I guess
it's in the simplicity. Remember, M equals CE squared 2. You know, part of, they say in science, you know, when you've got the equation, because it all should be simple.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That lets you know it's the truth, it goes beyond, it's multidimensional. It's not just this dimension. When it's simple and eloquent, it is roaming on many levels and dimensions, many, many.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's beautiful, and, you know.
Yeah.
And I experienced it yesterday, just like words. Beautiful, you know, words that come from, you know, someone that just, they delivered something that, had a vibration, it just goes right into you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's really sweet of your dad. And yeah, it's like I'm telling Goldie, you know, I know it's a metaphor, but when you start shape-shifting, transforming and, transcending and integrating, it's like that pebble that gets thrown in the water and then it vibrates out, the ripple effect. And it really does affect people around you, you know, and it's not like you're going to force it, look for it. It's just, it does, and you just sort of be with it, and you don't really have to do anything, and, you know, but it's definitely, I've been noticing it in my life, even with my brother who's living with me, and, you know, just great. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's deep.
So
it's almost like, it's fifth dimensional moments. That's really what it is. Because it's a connection with another being that goes so beyond this space. Now, I'm used to that connection with Earth, you know, when I'm in the woods and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm really not used to it. And listen, I'm open to getting used to it. Oh, my God. I am definitely open to getting used to beings interacting.
Thanks for calling, Goldie. I don't think there's any accidents. Do you have a radio show?
No, that's true, huh?
Yeah, that's true. It's so great.
Yeah, well,
no,
I mean,
wonderful.
But I'll tell you, the show in the last 6 months. And listen, I said this to Janine earlier. My show has taken on a quality and a hue. Since bringing Janine on board, that is transformed me. You know, obviously the Mystical Mother Earth show, it's transformed another reality show. You know,
Janine
is single-handedly, you know, bringing a cohesion to my, you know, kooky bird schizophrenia, whacked out, beautiful experience. You know, and I could not be more pleased. And I'm brought to points of being speechless because it's just the radiance that is what it's all about. I mean, the words are definitely helpful because we have minds, and I know the mind does want. We got to feed the mind some information, but you can't stop at just knowing. You got to let it drop into your experience because at some point you will be challenged to live the truths you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, Greg said something really interesting the other night to me. He goes, every single being on the planet knows right from wrong. It's just when they're willing to make the choice to do that what's right for them, you know, the righteous action, you know, where we all know it. We all know, you know, whether it's, you know, leaving a relationship, you know, having integrity, whatever. It transpires everything. But we all know it. It's like, how long can you lie to yourself and say, well, I don't have to do that yet? I mean, because I know a lot of people are like, soon. You know, what frequency or what timeline, what has to happen? Do you have to lose somebody or do you have to get into a car accident or what, you know, what has to happen for it to become a priority? Because for me, doing what's right is really, it's not a single action. It's listening to my essence and letting my essence become expressed as opposed to listening to my ego and letting that be expressed.
Now I'm speechless.
Oh. Well, and if you want to see an excellent example of the whole, the mind and the ego and the soul and the essence, the movie A Beautiful Mind is such an exquisite example. He was, in the 1940s or whatever, he's got schizophrenia, and he knew, his essence said to him, listen, we can deal with this. Don't do the shock treatments, don't do the medication, because it didn't allow him to have the creative ability to see the holographic universe. So what he did is he just started realizing he had to starve the three aspects of his personality, the military guy, the little girl who always needed attention, or the little kid, but it was a little girl, and the best friend. You know,
yeah.
It's like, and if you think about those characters, you know, your ego is, it's a sufficient, or excuse me, an efficient part of who we are until we're willing to go beyond. In other words, the ego is what has comforted us until we choose to follow our souls and our essence, and it's a big part of us. It's a huge part of us. You know, for me, the ego was the part of me that kept me on drugs and kept me in my pain body in relationships. That was always about, well, if I date somebody who's got more issues than me, I won't notice my issues. You know, but of course you can't run away from your own issues, because my issues, ironically, were the issues of the guys I was dating. It just, I kept denying it. You know, it's...
Yeah.
it's just a choice, and I invite everybody that when you really make a commitment to that choice, everything changes, and it changes inside, not necessarily outside. Even though outside's changed too, but you can go 5 months of releasing, and then when the creations do start coming, you know they're divine, and you know it. You know it.
Yeah.
Because you haven't put your mental into. Yeah. If you don't put your mental into the black hole, the white hole is not going to spit out the mental creation. That's kind of the simplicity of it. If you sit in stillness and in infinite trust, you're still moving. You know, there's a saying, who was it, Robert Young, who said, be still but don't be lazy. You know?
Yeah, and in that paradox of stillness is always movement anyway, because the universe is
constantly moving.
Spiraling and orbiting, and so are we. And,
yes.
But, you know, I love what you said about doing what's right, and then you followed it with bringing up the beautiful mind. And I remember earlier today I was like, something about embracing one's own genius, because I think so many people who've gone knowing that they have some kind of genius in them, and you know, whatever it is, because it can be so many different things. It's kind of, to me, like, you know, whether it's your calling or your passion, or, you know, is it subtle?
Right.
But I really think, and I know your guest about 3 weeks ago, Nancy Lee, she also was using the word genius, and it's been coming up a lot for me lately. And you just used it a little while ago, and you know, that is not a place of ego. That is a true, like, it's almost like hitting your own goal. It's like, you know, and I really want to encourage whatever that is for people, and to not deny it, because that has nothing to do with ego, but it has all to do with following, you know, your own vision of, or just, you know, that momentum thing. But I know everybody has their own sort of sense of what that genius is.
Absolutely.
And I know denying that genius is really, it's really sad, and it's uncomfortable, and it can even make you angry, and it can make you feel twisted. And I swear, if you could just give that genius permission, a lot of what we perceive as negative, or, you know, will dissolve, because it's just waiting for us. And I know our culture.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speaking about myself now, but I know that our culture, you know, doesn't support it. It's like, how dare you have the genius? Well, everybody does. I just wish they would say that to younger children, or foster it, because it is there. You know, Nassim, everybody, it's not just him, it's not just all these people, it's everyone. If we're all, you know, it's like, if we're all in continuous relationship with the universe, you mean to tell me that we're not totally with our genius? Of course we are. So it's like, I'm totally encouraging, like, December to be Get in Touch with Your Genius Month.
I like that. I need to write that down. December, we're going to have to mention that. I like that. Good.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like, why not enter 2012 with fully in your genius, you know? So
right on.
So, because I just noticed that's such a diminishing thing, and I'm like tired of that. No.
Yeah, come on, aren't we all done being, you know, dummies?
Yeah, like, just, you know, some incredible person who's an anthropologist, she's quite the genius, although you never really hear her say that, but, you know, her mom used to say to her, because she goes, oh, don't try to hide your green hair. Everybody sees it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, you know, don't hide your light under a basket. You know, it's there for a reason. And so I feel compelled to say that, because I think that's a lot of why people are suffering right now. They're not, you know, they're just flourish with your genius, because you were born, then you should live with it. You know, I think so many people are just suffering because of that. So,
Yeah, the changes are coming as well, though. It's a simultaneous suffering as well as awakening, you know, and I...
But stuffing the genius is not, you know, I'm saying don't stuff it anymore, you know.
Right, right, right. Nothing pays off by playing it small anymore. The energy is so conducive
and
to
yourself,
owning
like
the magnificence.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's like, okay, so back to that selfish thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, be selfish, be your genius, and the world would be a better place for it. So,
well, and
yeah.
What's so interesting, too, what comes to mind is a Tobias channeling from Crimson Circle. There was this channeling, and I think it's probably a parable in, you know, in different stories where, you know, this guy keeps doing, like he goes to this angel and he goes, you know, how can you tell me when I'm worthy? And the guy goes, okay, listen, I need to let go of all my physical stuff. And then he comes back and the angel goes, nope. And then he goes, oh, okay, you know, I need to devote all my time to God. And comes back, you know, does 6 months of total devotion. And the angel goes, nope. And then he goes, okay, well, I need to study more. I need to learn more. And then he does 6 months of that. He comes back and the angel goes, nope. And so, obviously, you get that. He keeps doing all these things, and finally he goes, okay, what? What do I have to do, you know, for you to tell me that, you know, I've made it into, you know, angeldom or whatever? And the angel goes, it's not me, it's you. When do you choose it? And it's like, you can't, no one can give you this genius. It's simply you recognize it, but and you start making choices based on it. And you'll see that it's not even about, you know, screaming it from the rooftops, even though if that's what you want to do. Hey, I mean, God knows I've got a, you know, I've got two radio shows. I'm screaming it all the time. But it's not, you know, because there's such a fine line between the joy that I felt from my father's interaction with me was not about him just giving me the validation. It was about seeing my father utilize, I mean, my father quote-unquote said the words to me, how do I let her know she is not alone? Now, for 10 years when I listened to Tobias and Company at Crimson Circle, Tobias ended every single channel with, and remember, you are not alone. Mm. So it was really what he said more than, you know, him walking up to me, putting his arm around me, going, you know what, kid, you've got value.
Of course.
He can't take my value from me. He can't give it to me. I mean, he can clearly trigger me so I can go through initiations and integrations, and I'm grateful for that, which is what all of our triggers do. That's why they have value. I want that noted for, you know, public use. But I think what really touched me, and it's not I think, I know, what really touched me was, wow, he was saying a universal term that me and all of my spiritual friends say, you are never alone. It's huge. It's just huge. And it's genius. You know, and he's not listening to channeling. It's his genius coming out.
Right. Exactly. It's that vein of gold. It's like, you know, you just when you're in it, you know it. It feels right. And
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you also don't get jealous of other people's genius. You'll find that you're so attracted to others' geniuses, because when you start hanging out together, genius to genius, it's a puzzle piece where it's so complex. There are no two geniuses that bring the same two things to the picture.
Yeah.
Everybody's piece is unique. So, I mean, it can have similarities, but no two are alike. So nobody can upstage you. Nobody. It's not about that.
It's not at all.
When two or more gather in my name, it's truly a synergy that is, you know, creating heaven on earth, in my humble opinion. Genius. It will be the geniuses of this planet that will create the heaven on earth, because genius is part of everyone in the fifth dimension. That is part of heaven. We're geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the calling card. You can't get in unless you know you're a genius. And the best part is there's no school that you have to go to get this.
This is no school.
Nobody, no letters after your name that will be declaring this. It's in your field that everyone will know it. It's in your field. Definitely.
It's a snow day, no school.
Yeah, it's more like snow life. No doing for the rest of your life. Wow. Permanent vacation.
Did you mention that dream you had that you actually called it an initiation room? Did you say that when you were telling your dream? Because you said,
well,
that
the one
to
in
me.
The basement.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't call it an initiation room, but it was a third dimensional initiation art. I mean, it was definitely
But when you told me the dream, you actually said it was like an initiation room.
Yeah.
Which I think is so cool. It reminds me, I don't know, you know, it's another thing. I've been having lots of dreams, and you have too, and I was skiing last night, and I haven't skied in like... You know,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that was fun, and who knows what that means, but of course, movement and mountains, and I love snow.
Well, and grace. I get grace and poise.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That was pretty amazing. But
and joy, right? Because you enjoy it.
I love it. And it's nature, and yeah, it's invigorating. But I remember... I think it was in 96, because the room in your dream reminds me that it was in 96 I had this dream about this this moth, this white moth that was flying around me. And she landed on, and it was a she, because I found out later, she landed on my heart, and it scared me. And so, and she realized it because I went, ah! And the moth flew off, and she flew around me again, and then she landed on the top of my head. And I could feel her sitting on the top of my head, and I thought, you know, just be still, just be still. And so, you know, I kind of got over the fear. And then she flew down to the ground, and she looked up at me. And in, I mean, it's a little moth, but obviously a moth in a dream is a little bigger than in real life. And
moths are very beautiful, like butterflies. You know, there are definitely some species that are gorgeous.
Know, yeah, so but this is so cool because there's a synchronicity. And think about it because, you know, this was 96, but now I'm telling the story. But
okay.
Because it reminds me of, first of all, dreams can be so mystical and like you're tapping into these other worlds and multidimensional language to me. So the moth flies down to the ground, and she looks up at me, and she has a little twig in her mouth, almost like an offering with leaves on it, you know, and I take it from her, and she starts making this sound, like that's just like a bird, but it's kind of like that, and as she's literally making that sound to me, I understand what she's saying.
Nice.
And In this moth language, she tells me that she's a royal moth that came to take me to this special room that's been waiting for me. And you know, why it reminds me of this dream is because, and this is so amazing. Okay, that she became an initiation art piece, and now. It's just hitting me that the room that she probably was taking me into was a certain initiation for myself of growth and transformation and consciousness. And I never really put that together. And now you have a dream of a room with initiation art, and here it is. She became an initiation art piece of mine. And now you're going to be, you've already started the process of the initiation art piece of sufficiency. But it just strikes me as so incredible that, you know, this dream just came to me, my moth dream. And she always felt as though she was sort of connecting my heart to my mind because she first landed on my heart.
Mm.
And, you know, and it scared me. And I was like, ah, you know, and then she went to my head and it was like, okay, but yeah, so it's just so amazing what messages we get.
Can I read Moth's wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay, Moth's wisdom. The power of the whirlwind, ease of movement in darkness and shadow, transformation, ability to confuse enemies, ability to find light in darkness.
Wow.
Now, and they have Hear Moth Speak. I'm going to play it. I've never heard a moth speak. I didn't even know moth speak.
But I never did either, except for the moth in my dream.
Yeah, tell me if this sounds like it. I turned it
okay.
up. So I'm going to put
okay.
the phone up to it. Everybody, this is the moth speaking, and it only plays for like 2 seconds, so hold on.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. That's how like crumpling paper.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah, he'll play
it was
one
like
more
that.
Time. Let me just play one more time for you in case I hear. I ready? Here he goes. I mean, I'll be honest, is that the sound of a moth getting electrocuted?
That is so great. That was probably it's probably like how crickets, you know, locusts, or they make sounds by rubbing wings, or who knows.
Right, right.
She
right.
made a sound that had a higher pitch. It was
okay.
like,
okay.
you know, but I understood what she was saying, which was so cool. You know, it was like, yeah, I speak moth.
Well, and when you say that she's the queen of, you know, George has spoken about, you know, he's gone to the bottom of the sea and sat in council of, you know, the queen of, I don't know, the jellyfishers, I don't know what it is,
wow.
dolphins, you know, meaning every species has, you know, the wisdom keepers and, you know, so I honor that, you know, and look at it, it's all about transformation, darkness and shadows, finding light, you know.
In the dark.
The power of the whirlwind, yeah, I mean, there it is.
Yeah.
It was definitely
yeah.
initiation. When was
oh,
this, in 96?
Sure. 1996.
Okay.
I had her, yeah, and I, you know, and another thing about momentum is that, you know, I made her, physically as a sculpture, like out of a piece of wood in the yard and some coat hangers and some old stockings, and she's beautiful. And oh, you can
mm-hmm.
see her on my website actually. But
nice.
She, you know, I honored her. That's really basically like a process of
right.
Bringing something, actually, you know, almost kind of quote upping the ante or giving something. More energy because I made her in honor of her and, you know, who knows? I mean, I can't tell you if I hadn't made her, oh, what different would it be? I don't know, but I was compelled
to make. Oh, why would you
make,
even go there? Listen, initiation
no,
works.
Right, but I was compelled to make her just in almost gratitude for her coming to me, you know, and.
Yeah,
and you know, and I mean, so that's just another thing that your dream just evoked for me because of the room. I was like, oh, the room, the special
yeah.
waiting room. You know, it's like, oh, there it is.
Well,
the
I
waiting
say,
room.
Well, I guess waiting or creating. I mean, I get
no,
more
no,
that.
But she was bringing me to this room that, well, I, you know, it's funny because, like, you know how you have to sometimes sit in a room and wait for, like, an appointment?
Yeah. Yeah,
but you do sometimes acknowledge that I am very good at waiting.
Yeah, no, you are a professional waiter. Yes, and I'm not
said,
talking.
I told you,
I'm
I
not
said,
talking out
I
back
put,
here,
I
folks.
I put the order in the kitchen, and I'm still waiting.
Well, and see, I'll be honest with you. You know, some people, you know, might take that the wrong way. When I say that Janine is a professional waiter, I have never. I've worked with other people. Creatively on projects, you know, with the whole WARL, you know, the gentleman that, you know, that basically scammed me out of 20 grand. I've worked with people that, you know, we got to get it done. We got to create it now. There's no time to wait. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. And I'll be honest with you, when you work with somebody like Janine, who's a professional waiter, what I'm really expressing is that she understands the organic process of letting it come to us, and not having, not putting pressure on me because we don't have a sponsor yet. Not putting pressure on me because we didn't get into the Paranormal Network with 100,000 listeners. I mean, it's like a professional waiter is somebody, in other words, someone who's at peace with the present moment.
Yeah.
That's a professional waiter. And it is of the highest compliment that, that I give it to you because, yeah, because from the creative process, you can't rush divinity. You sit in your stillness and attentive awareness until something happens that will tell you, okay, make a move to the left. And then you sit again. You know, and sometimes that move creates a momentum where you're running down the hill chasing the kite or chasing the ball. And sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's you know, like I'm moving to North Carolina. I keep joking with Janine going, my reservation's in and now I wait. Because you know, it's not just about, you know, it's not the way, it didn't get created. Like, I moved to Buffalo, New York in 9 days. I made a decision to go to Hawaii in 11 days. I have done most of my big decisions in life, you know, I've made those decisions in less than 30 seconds. Now, the truth is I made the decision to move, and this is the first time that I am utilizing the waiting, and it's... What's coming up for me is, well, can you have your reservation be in and not sabotage yourself? Because what happens in the waiting is the mind reels. It just reels. It wants to so mess with my confidence that in divinity it'll happen when it happens. And the mind is going, no. You know, it's not going to happen. And it's like, so it becomes the test of, can you sit in the stillness and still know you're creating? And every day, what is the AA thing? One day at a time. One moment at a time. And I've had insecure moments, and, you know, I call Janine. Because Janine helps me get back into a center because she is in her center, you know. I could call other people that could clearly spin me more. I can remember that when I had a friend of mine in West Virginia, and I would be spinning, and I'd call her to want to ground myself, and I'd find when I was talking to her, I would just pick up speed in my spin because she's spinning. You know, it's like I don't recommend calling people who are naturally in their spin when you want to find your center and balance. You want to call somebody who's in their center and balance. And I'm not saying Janine is always in her center and balance, but I'll be honest with you. She's never missed a moment when I've called. If she doesn't go out of it, if she goes out of it, it's not been in my presence. So, you know,
thanks.
It's a blessing. Thank you.
I think, you know, all this creativity has its own timing, and, you know, you write a book, you paint paintings, they take time. I remember Leonard Cohen, the songwriter, he took like a year to write one song, and, you know, it was a beautiful song, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's written other songs in inspirational moments of, you know, an hour or something, and that's fine too, but, it's just when you're creating, you can want something to happen, but it doesn't because it has its own timing. And so over these years, which, you know, basically since like 93, I have learned about waiting and working with creativity. And it's just, you know, at times, you know, I'll go, oh, yeah, from the time that I've had 5 nervous breakdowns, you know, but I laugh, but it's just basically, you're working with a process that doesn't know about, you know, artificial timelines and you're supposed to be done now. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So I've learned a lot, and it's funny, one day at a time, and I say this completely with humility, but also with like pride that I go one book at a time, because I really feel that way, you know, one book at a time, one poster at a time, one, you know, it just that's a value to me. Like, so again, it goes.
That's a value to, I believe, everybody.
Yeah, and
that's contributing value to the whole.
Yeah, and it is quantity. It's not quantity because everybody gets high on that and they're like, yeah, the big, you know, and it's like, oh, let's go for quality and relating. Because that's what I've learned. Your father's moment with you is such an example of that, you know, of it stops you in your tracks. It's unpredictable. It's so unexpected. And yet, you know, and that's when, like, all the great stuff happens, you know. And look, it was great. Yeah, it was.
I mean, the ride up to Polar Bears, I mean, I just, you know, the music was on. I'm kind of here, you can't see me, but I'm like moving my hands like, it was cosmic. It was like the ride became, and it's so funny because, remember, initially I had my coat on, I had my purse on. It could have been so easy in an unconscious moment.
Yeah.
Whatever, Dad. I got no time. I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
that's why I say, it's when you start connecting with the genius in yourself, that it is that voice that said, stop, listen to what he has to say. That it's so the benefits of connecting with the genius are you don't miss the opportunities in every moment that is available for all of us. But when our mind is going to, the monkeys on our back and we're running through the list of things to do today, I can't tell you how, in my humble opinion, non-productive a things to do list can be. And I'm not saying never have them, but if every day, you know, you have to have a things to do list, where's your spontaneity? Where are you leaving time for the organic to show up that you can't make a list of it to do because you don't even know it's coming? You know, if you're going to do a things to do list, at least make some of the things to do be nothing. Put it on the list. Do nothing right now. Just, you know, or as Robert Young says, you know, be still but don't be lazy. So go, you know, give yourself some time to actually allow, you know, and you'll find that the more you allow the time to things to come spontaneous, like, I'll never do laundry again because I need, you know, my clothes are dirty. I do laundry when I'm inspired. Because when I do laundry when I'm inspired, it is such a joyful experience. You know, they come out of the wash and the dryer and they smell, and, you know, that downy smell. And I've seen it. I've, like, you know, I'll change my sheets and it's like, oh, this is like, I'm so excited. You know, my clothes are clean. And sometimes it's when the basket is half full. And sometimes it's, you know, it's literally two piles, the basket and a pile that's overloaded from the basket that's already started on the floor. Because I just, you know, I mean, I personally have enough clothes that I can do this with. And I think most of us, you know, who are in my age group pretty much do. So, meaning I can do it through inspiration, and then it's never a chore that I have to do my laundry, ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not, I don't do from necessity that something needs to get done. I do from connection to my beingness that I'm inspired, that even I'm inspired to do laundry. Because I know it. Every time I'm inspired, I'm like, you know, I'm going to spend the day with Facebook, and I'm going to do laundry, and I'm in the mood to, like, maybe watch, you know, a video. You know, I'm in the mood to be housebound, but I've got energy. Because a lot of times I'll be housebound, and in all honesty, I'm just, the physical energy is low. So, you know, I might be doing the same things, but I'm not in the mood to go up and down to the den and fold the laundry. It's a specific, you know, kind of spurt of energy that's like, okay, today's the day. You know, I'll know it as soon as I wake up. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do laundry today. I mean, it's just, I can feel that it's in me. And I've had days where I've been like, you know, come on, let's do it. And then I'm like, no, that's not happening today.
I don't think, like, a routine, if you can avoid it, I think changing it and not having one at times when you can is really good, because I find that, you know, inspiration, transformation, creativity all require space.
Right.
And you know, if you provide the space, you allow that to come in. And, you know, and it, you know, and look at the universe. Is 99% space and 1% of matter that we see. And so I'm like, you know, we really do, you know, it's like really like get that and embrace it and love it, because honestly, the more space you allow, the organic, just you're experiencing it. I know it. I know I am. And it's just, it's like, really? This is incredible.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
And it's, yeah. And so, I do change. I avoid routine if I can. You know, there's certain things you have to do, but
right.
I just don't find that's organic, because it isn't.
Exactly. Well, I know people that do. They write the to-do list, and then they guilt themselves for not finishing it. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you know,
really
like don't get caught in that
away.
Trap. Yeah, exactly. Burn that. Listen, whatever's supposed to get done today, got. It's we're an eternal experience here. You know, there's always tomorrow.
Right.
And then there's people that go, well, you know, well, there's not. What if you die? And it's like, well, but you'll find that. I don't know how many people have experienced this. I've experienced this in dreams where I can't explain to you how I've just experienced the point where I've died in this dimension and clearly saw that there's nothing that I bring to the table that life won't continue on without me. I mean, it's kind of a humbling thing where, like, I know parents are like, you know, I have to be here for my kids. And it's like, well, if it's in the contract, per se, that you're going to die early, is it going to be hard on your kids? Absolutely. But they're going to get through because we're all sovereign beings here. You know, like I have a friend of mine from way back in my 20s, he fathered 5 children, and he's not with any of them. He didn't grow up with them. And we had a talk one time years later. I mean, this is a couple of years ago, and he was sharing that with me. And I was like, listen, the divinity was you were the sacred vessel that allowed them to come in. I mean, that is sacred. Don't let society tell you because, you know, they're not in your life. And he's not a deadbeat dad, not by any stretch. It's just these women have gone their separate ways and, you know, he's not a part of their lives. But, like, you know, there is a put it this way. Everything is divinity. Everything. Everything we experience here. And, you know, there are certain things you can just put a blanket on. But if it helps you find the space of, you know, of your peace in your center, don't be afraid to make that divinity, make that statement that, you know, you might not even understand it, but you can still trust that it's in divinity, because once we get to the fifth dimension, you know, nothing dies. You know, I've already kind of sensed my mom's presence being around me, and I'm getting the sense that all of us, you know, what the ghost whisperer does is she sees dead people. Inevitably, we're all going to be able to see that which is multidimensional, because the veil is getting lifted. We're no longer using, quote-unquote, our eyeballs to put into the black hole to create our experience. We're putting in our cellular sensations. And cellular sensations can see that which is, quote-unquote, crossed over, because it's just in a different frequency band. They're still a part of existence. They're just not physical, but they're still a part of existence. So, you know, we're going to really realize that everything we came here to forget intentionally is going to be truly miraculous as we remember it intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
And, you know,
and it's... What?
So ironic, isn't it? We went all this way just to come back.
And remember.
Yeah.
No, but I think it was it 2 weeks ago or 8 days ago or that you put that beautiful picture of your mother up? That struck me, you know?
Yeah.
And the beautiful breath. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and I have not, you know, my father has many parts of this house shrined, and I mean that literally. to my mother who passed 11 years ago. And it's funny how in an unconscious state, you know, I see her picture when I'm in the living room, or I see her picture in my father's room. But when I put that picture up on my Facebook wall, and, you know, here I sit in my computer and I get very into my energies and my presence, I was really looking at her and I was really allowing myself to say, do you miss her? If you do, feel it. Because, I mean, when she first died, I was floored. I mean, I was just stupid gone, you know. I left all consciousness around here. I completely went in and I, you know, and cried because I was scared shitless. But now there's a difference. It's not missing her because she was my everything. It's almost like I'm starting to become aware that we're going to be playing within the same realms. So it's almost like my reservation's in, and I'm a little anxious, like, wow, I can't wait till me and my mother are in other dimensions. I'm conscious that we're playing in other dimensions. Because she's come into my dreams on several occasions. The first time she came into my dream after she died, I went lucid. But I don't go lucid anymore when she comes into my dreams. But I'm becoming lucid in my awakening process, to realize that the missing her is about, well, I just can't wait till we're having experiences again on whatever level and dimension we're going to be having it, because I can sense that's coming. I can sense it. So once I can sense what it is, well, I'm starting to miss that I don't have it yet. You know, I can't miss what I don't know, but I'm starting to know, and I'm like, oh, I'm down with this. When do I get to play with Mom again?
Well,
it also sounds like
an experience of integrating where it's undefined, but it's there, and it's like how I was feeling the other day. There's something very attractive about it, but I'm just letting it be. But it is a collecting. I think it is a collecting or a remembering of an aspect of ourselves. And
I think you're right on the money with that.
I was just reading this. My friend Patrick O'Neill, he wrote this beautiful definition of vulnerability, which I think is like an amazing thing. Vulnerability.
I agree.
It just is. It's so beautiful and strong in its subtle and tender. I mean, you know, it's just like a human being at their best to me. And so vulnerability, he writes, is the quality associated with being undefended. We have given up our fears and have made a commitment to being ourselves, warts and all. We don't need to look good, have it all together, or live up to the expectations of others. Rather, we are fine with who we are and have the courage and character to simply be ourselves. And I just think that is sufficiency. Sufficiency is that. You know, I am enough with who I am. And to me, that ties into probably that's your genius. I mean, if you're in your vulnerability, as he explained it, to me, that's your genius. It's like, it's the beautiful mind guy where he sets those three aspects over there and says, you know, okay, you're part of me, but, you know, I have things to do here. So isn't that beautiful, though?
Yeah, can you post that on the wall, on either my wall or your wall?
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
So, and that's all a part of intimacy, which of course, I can't learn enough about that through intimacy.
Well, you know, and I mean, we only got a few minutes left. I definitely intend on talking about intimacy, in future shows, because there is a quality to life that is experienced through intimacy. And it's interesting. Intimacy has nothing to do with sexuality. Let's first get that clear.
Oh, right.
And everybody who's genuinely intimate in their life knows that. And it's not excluding sexuality. I'm not excluding it. But I'm intimate with Janine, and I've never been in the same physical room with her. Well, yeah, physical room. Even
right.
though I'm energetically, clearly, we're connected, and I know it. And this is, you know, as I say on so many other shows, I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's butt here. You know, this is a genuine. There is a connection. You know, when you're dreaming and you open your eyes and the phone's ringing and you know it's somebody. That's the tangible evidence of just what you already know. So,
right.
Intimacy is such a vertical experience of the physical world, in that it's the deep. It's the people willing to go deep, the people willing to talk about their shadow sides, the people willing to talk about their warts, the people willing to share their truth, even
yeah.
though that somebody might call them crazy. These are the intimate elements. And when you're intimate with yourself, you're willing to be intimate with another, you're willing to be intimate with Earth, you're willing to be intimate with multiple dimensions, it's almost like the 99.99999 infinite space.
Mm-hmm.
You fill that space with your presence. You become that space in presence. And that's why it's such a fulfilling experience to be intimate. To be intimate means you're not separate from anything. You're all of it. And you know it. And the dance you're doing with it is just confirming that you know it. And the knowing it has nothing to do with controlling it. It has everything to do with allowing it and trusting it.
Yeah. Yeah, and just showing up and putting yourself in that place, which is an act of courage, but it's such a gift, and you know, and
it is such a gift.
Yeah,
and really, really, I mean, it just brings a quality to life that, you know, you're not, you know, at every turn, you're not looking to, you know, basically get the hell out of Dodge. You can actually be on the planet with all the polarity going on, and still
mm-hmm.
find the beauty. I mean, and genuinely experience the beauty.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. That's the magic that, you know, I've been experiencing through for the last, wow, I don't know, you know, ever since I started with those initiation exercises, you know?
Yeah, well, you've been initiating yourself since, what, 96?
95. I made
95.
The first piece. But I didn't know that's what I was doing, which is so, you know, I started making these pieces and literally just, you know, as you would probably intuitively inspire, didn't know that's I was initiating myself. And
yeah.
It was 2 years later that I had six pieces and then I went, oh, and it was in that moment of like, you know, genius that you come across,
right,
you know, it's like, oh, I self-initiated myself in the last 2 years, and they all had titles, and I didn't realize, but yeah, and I get in awe of the magic that shows up in the subtleness of, say, the thing with your dad, or I've had those moments, and you're just like, wow, this is great,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and
yeah. They're vertical moments. They might not be horizontal, but they're vertical.
Yeah, and they're never, I could never predict it, which is even more fun.
Exactly. That's the best part. You know, I actually wrote Janine an email the other day, and I went, you know, being friends with you and having you as a partner is like having Christmas morning every single day. I mean,
that's
and that
right.
is my truth. I mean, and that's the truth for anybody willing to be intimate. To be honest, every day is like Christmas morning because you don't know what you're going to find. And, you know, Christmas morning could also be the tree fell down, dad got drunk, you know, he trashed everything and it sucked. You know, it's everything. You know?
That's great. Oh, that was funny.
I don't know where that came from. It just kind of popped out of my head.
Oh, I've had those days. No,
yeah,
yes,
I think I might have been
great.
Tapping into that. Okay, I wasn't sure.
No, but it's just so funny because, yeah, that's part of our lives too, you know?
Exactly.
And And they're that's amazing too. I mean, I've definitely had those moments, and makes you who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's why we came. It's to look for the easy way out, everybody, is ridiculous, because we came here to forget the easy way. That's why we came to forget that, because we knew in our hearts the joy of remembering it once we forgot would supersede anything we go through when we forgot. It just supersedes everything. And look at us. We're going right up to the tippy top of the hour.
Bye, everybody.
We love you, but we'll leave our contact information for anybody who wants to hear it in the archives. So, yes, because we can do that. So you first.
You can see my initiation art and all my other art and read about some cool stuff on J. L. Kimmel, KIMMEL.com. And then I have another website called SpringTreePress.com. And you can see books and posters and all kinds of good stuff on there too, and read my blog called Tea Time. So, so that's me.
Nice.
And how about you?
Nice. And you can find me right here on anotherrealityshow.com. That's my webpage. And I promise you guys, as soon as I get some steady income or something, some kind of, overwhelming income, I am absolutely going to put a presence of the Mystical Mother Earth Show on my webpage. That is, that's on my list. And I'm just waiting for that cycling to come, because I do want to do that. Very much I want to do that. And Thursday nights I do the show from 8 to 10, another reality show. And, I'm truly grateful for my listeners, for my partner in crime and clarity. and just the ability to be able to share my journey is priceless to me. I'm genuinely living my purpose, and I'm enjoy doing it. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we go good, Justin. So next week we'll be back to our Monday schedule, and so tune in next Monday night. All right, everybody. Oh. Are you good?
Wow. Yeah, December 5th. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm good. So thank you so much.
Oh,
love,
you're so
vulnerability.
Welcome. I love you.
Yeah. I love you too. Talk to
all
you
right,
soon,
until next
I'm
week.
Sure.
Absolutely. Oh, totally. Totally. I'll speak to you soon.
Sorry.
All right.
Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started and before.